This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Thank you, God. What a mighty God we serve. He worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Our scripture today for our message, James chapter 1, verse 17. James 1:17. What a gracious and awesome God we serve. So glad to see y'all this morning. Amen. James 1:17. The Reverend Todd Rhodes, who's my pastor of Shallow Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia, where my dad pastored for some 40 plus years, sends again his best wishes to all of First African Baptist Church, his home church. And we ask to continue to be. I was with them on last Sunday for the 150th church anniversary. 150 for Shallow Baptist Church. And you know what the strange thing about that is? I was there for their 100th anniversary. Don't be counting up nothing. Amen. Amen. I wasn't preaching there, by the way. I didn't want to say that. I was a little boy, but I was there at Shallow Baptist Church. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, we ask now in a special way that you would open our ears that we may hear, our minds we may understand, our hearts that we might believe. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Speak and preach, Holy Ghost, preach, that we may receive and not just be hearers, but doers of your word to do your will. So in the precious, powerful, and peaceful name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and praise God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Our subject this morning, bless to be a blessing.
Amen.
Bless to be a blessing. I am blessed. You are blessed. God has blessed us. Yeah. You are blessed even if you don't feel like you're blessed. Yeah, you are blessed. One hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I just want to start here because when I say I am blessed, I say you are blessed. A couple of people said, yes, I am. Some were just kind of looking at me like, oh, okay. So let's kind of count the blessings. Just I want to count them. The song said count too many blessings and made me think about it. Let's count our blessings and just see if we are blessed. All right, so somebody who ever going to count for me, I need a counter. Y'all could count as I get blessings. All right, so let's start with woke you up this morning. That's one, right? Okay. Woke you up this morning, but then you knew where you were when you woke up. Now, woke you up this morning, you knew where you were when you woke up. But this one now, look at this one. And you got up. So y'all don't realize, some folk didn't wake up. Some folk woke up, didn't know where they were. Some of them woke up, knew where they were, but could not get up. Oh, you're blessed. I'm telling you. I can tell you, you're blessed just by the fact that you're here. All right. Woke up, knew where you were, got up. Now, I don't know how many you're going to put to this one, but when you went to the bathroom, you did all you had to do. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The older we get, the more of a blessing that is. Y'all will catch on young people a little while. Yeah, the older you get, the more of a blessing that is. Yeah. And then once we finished there and everything else, we were able to get dressed. Correctly. Nobody here came in here with their hands on their shoes, their hands on their feet on their, I'm sorry, their shoes on their hands. Yeah. Yeah, you dressed correctly. I don't believe anybody has clothes on backwards or whatever, but we were able to dress and dress correctly. And if you did put your clothes on backwards, you meant to do that. I'm just talking about the blessing. You drove here this morning to worship. Yeah. Now, let me tell you what's more of a blessing. You rode here with somebody. Yeah. You don't know how they were feeling. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know. And do you realize when you're on a two-lane road that what separates you from the oncoming traffic is only 18 inches? Yeah. And we trust whoever's in that other oncoming traffic, we trust that they're okay. It could be a monkey driving that car. And you just got trust. You're going to just go right on past it. Look how God has blessed us and keep blessing us. Look how he blessed us. But I want us to understand that we're blessed for a reason. We're not just blessed to be blessed. But God blesses us for a reason. And sometimes we miss why he's blessing us. We miss the fact that he's blessed us so greatly. We sometimes miss it, and we don't count our blessings. We don't really see us as being blessed. But I want you to know today, you are blessed. Somebody say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Thank you, God. I am blessed. Even when we're blessed, there's a reason behind our blessings. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, 28. It says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Now, when I hear that, when we read that, we'll think that the reason the thief needs to steal no more and do honest work with his hands, we would think that is for the purpose that he won't steal anymore. So he can provide his needs. That makes sense, right? You stop stealing, you work so you don't have to steal anymore. But look at what the Word of God tells us. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. I think we miss this whole blessing thing as to why God blesses us, why God keeps us, why God gives us another opportunity every day of our lives. It's really not about us being blessed. Even the thief is blessed, but not just so he could stop stealing, but so he can be a blessing. Seeing that we all want to receive all that God has for us, let's look at how we are blessed to be a blessing. First, we are blessed by our presence. Yeah, it's good to be present. Yeah, you're blessed just to be able to be present. And listen, as you're present, you're really blessing others. Don't take being present for granted. In our minds, we may not feel blessed by being present here or being present online, but you are a blessing because you are present. Yeah, you're in the room. Well, you know that after Jesus died, he rose from the grave, before he ascended, he appeared before the disciples. But there was one disciple that was not present. I said, Jesus appeared to all the disciples, those who were left, he appeared to them, and there was one disciple that was not present. His name was Thomas. And the rest of them told them, said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. I said, wait a minute, he died. We know he died, he was buried. How you saw the Lord? No, we saw the Lord. Yeah, you say that. All of y'all saying that. But I'm not buying that. I have to see him and I have to touch his handprint. I have to touch his eye before I can believe. Him not being present kept him from receiving what he could have received had he been present. But look how gracious our God is. He showed up in the midst of them while Thomas was uttering those words. And he said, okay, Thomas, I'm here. Go ahead, touch my name. He said, oh, no, my Lord and my God. It's something about being present. Yes, because you're present, you have already been a blessing to somebody else. Your smile, the nod of your head, the reaching out to someone, that has been a blessing to someone right here today. Your word of encouragement has blessed someone today. The fact that you just acknowledge someone else's presence have even been a blessing to them. You never know what somebody's going through, and just what your nod of your head or your acknowledging their presence can do for them. You never know. Even the mistakes and lack of your sensitivity has blessed someone. Even if you said or did something mean to somebody this morning, even in church, you have just blessed someone. What kind of blessing are that? Even if you are guilty of talking about somebody and ridiculing them and persecuting them, even on this morning, yesterday, anytime, you were a blessing to that person, especially if they love the Lord. But how in the world was I a blessing to them, even when I wasn't trying to bless them? Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Y'all say, I want to be blessed. But when folk talking about you, ridiculing you, you're blessed. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Because he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Just by being present, it's a blessing. Your very presence. I can't get past that. I don't want to move that too quickly, because sometimes we're thinking that we're not blessed, and sometimes we're thinking that being in the presence of others is not a blessing. So some folk hadn't been back to church yet because they don't see the relevance of how much we need to see their faces. There's some folk that I would just love to see, and there's some folk that I'm counting on that, matter of fact, should be in worship right now that I don't see. I know you're watching online, but I ain't giving no money unless I see you in worship. I mean, they want a loan. It's just a loan, you know, it's just a loan. Amen. Right? But anyway, but my point is, your presence means something to others. You don't know who was looking and depending on just seeing you today. Not that they're going to have a long conversation. Not anything's going on. Just the fact that they could be around you and be in your presence. You inspire folk that you may not know you inspire. Our presence means so much. Yeah. You are a part of the body of Christ. And every body part has worth and is a blessing. All right, let me help you with that. Y'all say, Pastor, I'm not getting you about this being present and how important that is. What part of your physical body do you wish to not be present? What part you want to do without? Oh, I don't need that hand. I'm here today, but my foot could have stayed at home. I don't need one of my eyes. I don't need what? Really? We want all of our body to be present where we are. And listen, as the body of Christ, we need to be present because we have work to do. And listen, when I'm talking about the spiritual gifts and all that we're talking about, I'm not talking about being present just on Sunday morning. We have to be present in the community doing the things God has called us to do and has gifted us to do. First, we are blessed by our presence. Second, we are blessed by our presence. Yeah, God has given us presence. We call them gifts. We are blessed by the gifts God has given us. Even beyond physical, material, and financial blessings, God has blessed us with spiritual gifts. Yeah. Who just said, well, just give me the money? Who said that? He's blessed us beyond the money. He's blessed us beyond those things that we think are so extra important. If you allow God's gift to be manifested through you, you would even have the money, and you would have more than just the money. You would have purpose, you would have joy, and you would have peace. God wants to bless us with all of it. But it's by putting him first and the things he desires first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all those things will be added. We look for all them things first, and then if we got something left over, maybe God can get it. I didn't tell Minister Bolger to say anything about tithing, but I'm so glad he did. Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I can't afford to tithe. I don't have enough money to tithe. And I always say, how can you not have the first 10% of the money God blessed you with? He gets the first 10% of what you... Now, understand correctly, God does not need it. Yeah, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has everything. But you need to give it. Because that's when he says, and try me now herewith. God says, and prove me. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing, you will not have room enough to receive it. I had someone to come to my office this week and say, Pastor, you know, I may not be in worship, but I'm make sure that I'm paying my tithe. Said, you've been talking about this tithe thing for years. For years, and I just been listening to you, and I ain't even, trying to do that, but I can tell you, Pastor, I paid my tithe. I started paying my tithe, and I didn't have enough money to do what I needed to do. I was low, but I said, I'm going to pay my tithe. And he brought the tithe here to the church. He paid his tithe. He said, before I could get home, when I got home, I realized that there was more money waiting on me that I did not anticipate than what I paid and actually what I needed. He said, there's no way I'm not gonna tithe again. He said, the only thing I wish, Pastor, the only thing I wish and I desire, and this is the only thing I wish, Pastor, I wish I started doing it sooner. Is there anybody in the house who tithing and could say, yeah, that's my testimony? Hallelujah. I mean, God does it. God do it. And listen, he blesses us far beyond the material stuff. There are people who have a whole lot of money and no joy. And they're worrying about how to get more money and who's going to take the money they got. There are a lot of folk who have houses but no home. There's a lot of folk who got food and no appetite. But God is great that he blesses us with so many things when we are obedient to his word and we do his will. If you allow God's gift to be manifested through you, you will not only have the money, but you have much more. You were blessed and are being blessed for a reason. God has gifted you beyond your wildest dreams. However, your blessings have been hidden from you. You have become your own worst enemy by not seeing or adequately using what God has placed in you. Have you ever? Well, let me just tell you a quick story. There's a story of this truck. He was driving, guy driving his truck, and the wheels were squeaking. It was just squeaking, squeaking, squeaking. And the squeaking got worse and worse and worse. And then finally, it got so bad till he burned out the bearings in the wheel and had to stop, pull over. Now he's missing his deadline. Things just going bad. He's off time, off track. And his truck sit on the side of the road, had to wait for somebody to come and get him and tow him and all this. All he needed to do was put oil on the bearings, and the truck would have been great. The truck was a truck that was carrying oil. The kind of oil that goes on the bearing. Don't travel through all of your life with the gift God has placed in you, and you end up dying a physical death, lacking and thinking you were lacking all that God had already placed in you. He has blessed us. Somebody say, I am blessed. Oh, somebody say, I am blessed. Somebody say, I am blessed. God has blessed me even in my situation. Yeah. There's some things going on in your life. There's some situations happening in you right now. There's some obstacles that Satan has put in your way, some path, some thinking that he made you have. So you're saying, well, I'm not going to do anything the Lord wants me to do. I'm not going to do what they say. I'm not going to do. But forget all that stuff that Satan put in your way. And say, God, I love you. God, I trust you. Because you have blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 4 through 8 reads, For as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. God has gifted us, but we all don't have the same gift. Yeah, I said we all don't have the same gift. Praise the Lord. Everybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has at least one spiritual gift. You may have more, but you have at least one. And that is for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is for the building up of the body of Christ. That is so the body of Christ can do the work God has called us to do. You don't have a gift just to say, ooh, look how gifted I am. That gift is to be used as a part of the body of Christ. And we can't undermine someone else's gift if their gift is not like mine. We all need each other. Your physical body doesn't fuss with the other parts of your physical body because it's not that part of your physical body. It gets along. Yeah, the rest of the body does what the head say do. Jesus is the head. And his church is the body. And we're called to do what the head teaches and tells us to do. Look, he's the one who has given every last one of us the gifts that we have through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's where your gift comes from. You can pray for gifts, but God gives you the gift. All right, you say, I don't believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Amen. Don't be getting upset with somebody about their gift. Let them use what God has given them. And you use what God has given you. That's how we're going to function together. And again, let me say this. I am not just talking about Sunday morning worship. These gifts have to be used. Well, when God has gifted you, he wants you to use gifts just like when you give somebody a gift that you want them to use. When you give four gifts, you want them to just use it on Christmas Day only, on their birthday only? What kind of gift is that? You want a gift that they'll wear out, and you like to see them with it. I was gifted a couple of ties. I'm not going to tell you who gave them to me, but I give a couple of ties. And every time I wear that tie, the person who gave me the tie said, "Ooh, Pastor, I see it." I'm glad you're wearing that. He likes to see that tie on Pastor. What if I took those ties and just put them to the side? And it was a gift. Think about the gift God has given us and how he wants to see us use those gifts. Think how God wants to see us using it, working together, and become more functional as the body he wants us to be. Meeting the needs that need to be met throughout our community and beyond. Last point. Our presence and our presence are for this present age. Our presence, being present, and our presence, the gifts, are for this present age. Yeah. To serve this present age, our calling to fulfill. Oh, may all our powers engage to do my master's will. It's about doing the things that God has called us to do as his church. Do you realize that the first century church, and I know we like to call ourselves first church, but it is the first church that was before the first church. In Acts chapter 2, beginning around verse 42, we find out what the first church did after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." They received power in Acts chapter 2, and the power came, and then Peter preached. Over 3,000 came. But look at how they organized themselves as a church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were the disciples, so they devoted themselves to the disciples' teaching. But what teaching did they get from the disciples? From disciples? Disciples got their teaching from Jesus. Well, what did Jesus teach them? He said, "I want you to tell them to observe all things that I have commanded you." What did Jesus command the disciples to do? He told them, and we call it the Great Commandment, because he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's the greatest of all the commandments. These two hang all the law and the prophets. He said, "That's what I want you to do." So now the first church is learning how to do what they were commanded to do, which was to love. And they loved each other in such a way till they decided that they would make sure that everybody had everything they need. So they sold all their goods and laid it at the apostles' feet so that there would be no need in the congregation and they could really serve those in the congregation and beyond. So everybody had whatever they needed. That's how much love they had that they wanted to do that. Now, I gotta confess that the reason they did that, God didn't mandate that they do that, but the reason they did that is because they believed something that we ought to believe. Well, we believe it, but they believed it with a little more urgency. Well, Pastor, what did they believe? They believed because the disciples were standing there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And the two men in white said, "This same Jesus is coming back in like manner." He didn't tell them when. So they thought any moment, Jesus was coming back. So because Jesus coming back in a moment, what I need with a retirement plan? I mean, if he's coming back next week or he's coming back tomorrow, he's going to be back tonight. Why am I saving up all this money? Because when he comes back, I don't need the money. Can't take the money with me. Can't take the car with me. Can't take the house with me. Can't take all this with me. So they had everything in common because they knew one thing Jesus did teach them, love each other. And they went out of their way to love each other. What would happen if we as God's church would just love each other? That's what he said for them to do. He asked them to do that. Listen to what he said to them. in Romans 12, 1 through, he said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Then he says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. God has gifted us to be a blessing to others. We have to use the gifts he has given us for his purpose and for his will. And it's his will that none should perish. You can't go around saying you wish he or you wish she would end up in a warm climate when it's all over down here. And I've said this a number of times. If there's somebody that you dislike so much that you don't want to see them in heaven when you get there, don't worry about it. You won't be there. So God has gifted us to help us through all the stuff. He's gifted us to help us to be whole. He's gifted us. We truly do need each other. He's blessed us so we can be a blessing to one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Wow. God loves us so much. Somebody say, I am blessed. We're asking us to fill out our spiritual gift survey. Go to firstafricanbc.com. We're asking you, all members of First African, if you have not done it, please do that online and those present. firstafricanbc.com. We will capture what your gift, spiritual gift is by that. Now, I always got to say this. I keep saying the ones who have spiritual gifts is that you receive that gift after you're saved. That's right. Amen. If you go to the computer and you answer all those questions and you are not saved, it will still give you an answer. I say, if you go through all that stuff, you answer all the questions, you get. I don't want you to presuppose just because the computer gave you an answer and you're not saved. I don't want you to be comfortable in your not savedness. As pastors, my job is to make sure you make heaven. So I want to make sure you understand that. Let me put it another way. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. All right? But Ephesians 2 also says, but we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, right? So if you don't have any inclination to do any good works, to help anybody, to serve anybody, if that's not a part of your makeup, if that's not a part of your psyche, you is not saved. I mean, you are not saved. I want to help you. I want to help you now. I want to help you. But if you're not saved, you're in the right place. Because he said, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So before you go to the site, make sure you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. We got to pray. I'm going to pray in a moment. Go ahead and accept him. I don't care what position you're in. Some of us think that because we're in positions, we're automatically saved. It doesn't work like that. All right? So make sure you save. Then when you go to the computer, put in and go through all this, we'll capture spiritual gifts. We're going to align those gifts to work with ministries that we have at First African Baptist Church. And there's some ministries we don't have that we need to have. We're going to put them in place. And I'm saying now, and Sister Diane, you can hear this now. I'm saying now, We're not asking for the offices to be given turned in by the last of September. We're giving you to October because I thought we would have the gifts done through August, and then in September we would have been organized. So we're organized in October. So by the end of October, we need to know who the leadership is of each ministry. So you got some chance to go through that, work on that, and all that kind of stuff. But the main point is, we all are ready for God to use all of us to do His will. 2 Corinthians 8:9, last one. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. Jesus gave it all up that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He blessed us. He lived on this earth. He went about doing good. Out of all the good He did, folk did talk about Him. Folk did ridicule Him. Folk, can you imagine folk getting upset with Jesus? He was kind of changing things and turning things around from the way they were doing things, and they didn't like that. That he wasn't just changing things, He was transforming things. And I like transformation so much better than change. Y'all heard me say this 1,000 times, because anything change can change back. But anything that's transformed can't go back to what it was. Yeah, hallelujah. Jesus was transforming society. He was transforming and putting in place His church. He was transforming what everybody thought they ought to do the way they ought to do it. He was transforming, and they did not like it. Well, the religious leaders didn't. So what do? They conspired. And the folk that don't normally talk to each other started talking to each other to get Jesus. The Herodians, yeah. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all of them started getting together on Jesus. And they finally thought they won. Because they had conspired and had it where they could kill Jesus. Woo! How many of you know that when Satan means it for good, for bad, God can mean it for good? Jesus says, they didn't take His life. He said He laid it down. Can you see how He loved us so much that He allowed them to do all that they did to Him? He allowed them to take Him and to arrest Him and take Him from judgment hall to judgment hall. He allowed them to whip Him all night long. He allowed them to put nails in His feet, nails in His hands. He allowed them to put a crown of thorns on His head. He allowed them to march Him up to Golgotha's hill. He allowed Him to hang Him on the cross for your sins and my sins. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, let me hear you say, I am blessed. He died that we might live. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday, but early on that Sunday morning, He got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. Somebody say, I am blessed. What a mighty God we serve. He loved us in spite of ourselves. He loved us instead of our mistakes. He loved us in spite of our sins. He died. He rose. He's coming back again. Let me hear you say, I am blessed. Let me hear you say, I am blessed. Let me hear you say, I am blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me hear you say, I am blessed. right now you're saying, I need the Lord in my life. I need to be saved. There's a prayer we will pray with you right now. If you want to accept Christ into your life, just utter these words with us. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer online, go ahead and type the word saved. We'll get back with you because we're thanking God for you. Why are we thanking God for you? Because you've been blessed. Let me hear you say I've been blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I've been blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say hallelujah. Congregation and in our community that God is calling us to actively use what he's blessed us with to do the work he's called us to do. Thank you for coming to be in worship on today. Thank you, guests. Thank you, friends. Thank you, fellow, everybody who fellowship with us online. Thank God for you. I am so grateful. Hallelujah. What the Lord is doing and what the Lord will do. I know how Peter felt when he said, Lord, it's good to be here. Let's stay on this place. Yeah. But I know football is about to start. Amen. Let's pray. Grace of God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to worship you on today. Thank you for the eyes have seen, the ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you just for being God all by yourself. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, ruler of Babylon, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say, amen. Say, the people of God say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. Let me hear you say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.